Many years ago, my grandson would come to visit, and we got in the habit of asking questions. I'd ask him a few. Of course, I'd ask varied questions, and him being younger, you know, 4, 5, 6, he'd say, well, what should I even ask? But over the years, he got better at that, and so he'd come and visit, and we'd sit in the living room and throw a ball back and forth to each other, kind of just keeping hand-eye coordination going. We'd be doing that, but we'd be thinking of questions and asking back and forth. And we both enjoyed it. And he would ask me a lot of Bible questions because he knew I read the Bible and he could see I lived differently than his mom had raised him. He didn't grow up in the church. He didn't ever attend services except for a few times when he visited. So that was all foreign to him, and he would ask a lot of varied questions over the years. Well, just recently, he's 16 now, and he came to my home. And of course, you know, at the age of 12, he kind of stopped asking questions, but it went on for years. And so we've had many years where he hasn't done a lot of that. But we were sitting talking face to face, and he looked up and said, Grandpa, how close do you think we are to the Great Tribulation? I go, wow. I didn't expect that. I mean, he hadn't brought anything up on a Bible matter for years, and then he threw that out. And so I'll share my comments here in a minute. But let's begin today in Daniel 11, verse 40. You know, it's interesting what's on the minds of young people and old people alike. And sometimes a question like that will come out that we're not expecting. But here in Daniel 11, we'll just pick up a verse here in verse 40, because we're given the time frame of when certain events will take place. And so here in Daniel 11, verse 40, it says, at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. So my focus here isn't so much this war that's taking place, but it says at the time of the end. And so we're given that. And here a future war is mentioned, and only God can foretell that. We have no ability to do that on our own. And God tells Daniel some end-time happenings. Let me just mention here of Webster's definition of the word prophecy. He gave three different aspects of it, and I'll mention all three. The first one, prophecy is an inspired utterance of a prophet. So we look at, you know, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, etc., things they spoke that were given by God. Secondly, he says prophecy is the function or vocation of a prophet, specifically the inspired declaration of divine will and purpose. In other words, God sharing his thinking on future events. And thirdly, prophecy can mean a prediction of something to come. So when we look in the Bible and we see all these items that are written for us, many of them haven't been fulfilled yet. And so Daniel refers to some end-time prophecies, and we'll look at those. Let's just go to chapter 12 now, to the next chapter, chapter 12, and we'll read verse 1. He continues with, and at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered. It says at that time, once again, the end time is what it's talking about. Everyone who is found written in the book. So those are the ones that will be delivered. So brethren, when God gives a prophecy, we know it will take place. There's no reason for us to doubt it. We know that God cannot lie. He chooses not to. And we think about that every prophecy will unfold exactly as God spelled it out. We can look back in history, and we are given, you know, in a sense, a guarantee there, proof, because all the prophecies in the past have happened exactly as God said. And we all want to be delivered from terrible times because we're told they'll be worse than ever. You know, as the war, as the deception, the famines, the earthquakes, as all these things increase, God says it will grow towards the end time. So our question then, as we look at this here, it says everyone who is written in the book, is our name written in the book? Do we keep our name in the book of life? It It's important for us to think about. I won't turn there, but back in Revelation 3, Jesus Christ speaking to the churches, one of the things he says, if we overcome, he will not remove our name from the book of life. So we have something to do. We have an important step in our life that we need to consider if we want to be a part of God's kingdom. Skipping down to verse 7, it says, "Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished." Brethren, the words in this verse should make every Christian stop and think. You know, as we read that, you know, this could be applying to us if we're not careful. And some of the events on the horizon will be shocking. So are we willing to go forward no matter what? Are we willing to go follow the things that we've been taught, that we've read from God, so that we can be prepared for things on the horizon? My title today is, Are We Ready for End-Time Prophecy to Be Fulfilled? It's a big question, and each one of us has to answer that. And over the decades, I've heard many members say, we want to hear more sermons about prophecy. And others say, we want to understand prophecy better. And those things are fine, but there's a bigger aspect to future events than just knowing the facts. We have to take that into consideration. And Daniel didn't have all the facts either. He wondered. He was like, what is going to happen? Let's look at verse 8. Daniel says, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And so as Daniel, we may question certain things like, how close is the great tribulation to us? Or where's the place of safety? Or will I be asked to leave behind my grown children, such as Lot did when he fled from Sodom? And we can have all sorts of questions. Verse 13, but you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. So Daniel wanted to understand more, but he's told to wait. Basically, wait until you're resurrected in the future, and then you will be shown. Therefore, we must continue to follow Christ as persecution grows, as we grow closer to the time of that is very troubled that God speaks about at the end time. And my focus today is for each of us to consider, when prophecy unfolds, will I be ready for it? We should all ask ourselves that question. And prophecy here includes the return of Christ. It includes the kingdom of God on this earth, not just the tribulation. That's some terrible events that are coming, but it's beyond that. We have to look at all of prophecy and say, are we ready for when Christ comes to this earth and reigns supreme? Now, my reply to my grandson, when he asked that question of how close do you think the Great Tribulation is? See, he had seen something on the news, and he goes, that doesn't even make sense. This is getting bad out there. I don't know what particular event he saw, but I told him we don't know all the details yet. We do know times will be terrible. We do know the length of the Great Tribulation. We're told that. We do know it's getting closer. But we're also told to take some action steps as we see that drawing near. And he said, oh, that makes sense. So I answered his question, and he was okay with that. Because if I would have tried to give him a date, well, what happens a couple of years whenever I say that date and it doesn't happen? You go, you didn't get that right, Grandpa. You know, I'm not going to listen to your answers. You misspoke. So we have to be careful what we say. But the Bible does give us things that we do know. And yet we're told to prepare for these events. And that's whether we're living during Daniel's time, during Christ's time, or even today, any time for that matter. The key is that we must allow our master potter to mold us while there's still time. That's how we get ready for the Great Tribulation. That's how we get ready for the return of Christ and for the coming kingdom of God. Notice verse 4 here in Daniel 12. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Now you think about travel and how much it's changed over the last 50 years from when we, many of us, were kids, that our families didn't fly a lot of places like people do today. We didn't travel to the Mediterranean to take a cruise and all the things, you know, people do today. And so many things have changed in that area. And what about knowledge? So travel has definitely changed, but look at knowledge. Let me refer to an article here. It's in News and Science, and it's written by Peter Lundell on March of 2014, so roughly 7 years ago. And the name of his article was called The Knowledge Doubling Curve. He says, back in the 1980s, Mr. Fuller created the knowledge doubling curve. Until 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. So it changed a lot back, you know, 80 years ago, where it just really four times faster, every 25 years. Then he says, today things are not as simple, as different types of knowledge have different rates of growth. But on the average, human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. Now you think about that. All the knowledge in the whole world, and it's doubling that fast. Not every 100 years, as it was. Not every 25, but now every just a little over a year. And then he says, and the rate will increase exponentially. So go forward from this article, 2014. We'll go forward 6 years to 2020. And another article authored by Amitabh Ray. The name of his article was Human Knowledge is Doubling Every 12 Hours. Can you imagine how much things are increasing? And God foretold that here in Daniel 4. And it's hard for us to prove that statement. But think about how God mentioned that, that it would increase, that it's literally exploding because there's so much that's being looked into, whether it's microscopic or telescopic or whichever way you look. People are really seeing things and writing down things they never knew before. Now, my grandmother was called back in the 50s, and she is now in the grave. She's waiting until her resurrection. She was a member of the Church of God. And just like Daniel, he was told to wait. And so she's waiting. And yet she was required to grow during her lifetime, just as we're required to grow during our lifetime, because some of us may pass away before these end time events take place. And so how are we doing with the knowledge that we've been given? That's the key. It doesn't matter when we live throughout history. It's how we get ready, whether there is a great tribulation, whether we get ready for the return of Christ. Verse 7 that we already read here stated, when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. So that makes me ask a question of myself, and you should do the same. Will we have the stamina to continue to run our race? Brethren, if we're considered the holy people, and it says we're completely shattered, broken down, who knows exactly how that will take place. But will we have the stamina to continue and not fall apart when things get that bad? Now, in a physical race, we can set our mind to win, like, oh, I'm going to win that race. But it's not likely if we haven't done our training. You know, we can be very gifted in running, but if we don't go out and practice, we're not going to do well. And so how ready will you be? How ready will I be when tough times hit? Now, a week ago, and I just mentioned Ken Prickett in the announcements, that he was laying there, and I went to visit him on the Friday when he entered the hospital, and his chest pains were so extreme. He was trying to talk to me, and then he'd hold his chest. His face would wince, and tears would come out of his eyes, and then that'd subside a little bit, and he'd talk, and then that'd happen every 30 seconds, every minute or two. And he wasn't sure. And so he said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to talk to the brethren and tell them something for me. And he says, tell them that we don't know when our lives will end and that we must use our time to serve. We must be growing while we have the opportunity. Now, at that point, Ken didn't know if he'd live through the weekend. He was in severe pain. He knew something wasn't right. He hadn't been operated on yet. They hadn't found everything out. And so he didn't know whether he'd live another day. And yet, isn't that true of all of us? We don't know when we walk out of here today if we'll be back again next week or next month or next year. The point is, are we growing while we have the opportunity? Now, recently, I've put out a prayer request for a young lady named Cassie. a family member of one of our members over in Tampa. And if you remember, she's a young lady of 26, had a terrible car accident, and most of the bones in her face were all broken. Now, one of her eyes, she lost the vision in that. And she's gone through so much. She has brain damage. They had to remove part of her skull to remove, to let down the swelling, etc. But what I heard recently, she now has the mind of a three-year-old. They're still trying to teach her even to walk and help her. But my point is she did not know the hour, the day before that accident, what would take place. Neither do we. And yet her life is turned upside down. So are we willing to use the time we have, while we have it, because it is a gift from God every single day, and we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Ask Linda Kane, who lost her husband, in December. Ask Andy Camera, who lost his wife, in the last month or so. See, things change quickly, and we must get ready for all that God said is coming. And even if it doesn't occur during our lifetime, that's okay, because we still have to build the character that God would want in his kingdom. So we don't have to just wait till the last minute, because it doesn't work that way. It takes time to build godly character. Now, more details are given in the New Testament. So let's look at a few other statements there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Brethren, many times we ask the same questions as those during Christ's time. And so he gives some details here, but we have to step back and think about what we read in Daniel. Is our name written in the book of life? Even if we have these answers, what are we doing so that our name remains in the book of life? Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as Christ sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be?" So that could be us today. When is the Great Tribulation going to occur? They wanted to know. "And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So Jesus mentions some events that will take place prior to that time. He goes on to describe the first four seals, that of deception and war and hunger and pestilence. And so we can read about those. And we know they're going to grow worse as we come closer to the return of Christ. Let's go down to verse 11. It says there, "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Consider that, brethren. We could think here that this is referring to the world. All these people that are deceived. But let's look over at verse 24. And consider if it doesn't apply to us. Verse 24, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand." So many of those who stop running their race, who let down, who give up, are those that have been called by God. And we can be deceived as the elect. We have to really stop and think. Do we have that attitude that's mentioned in the Bible, "My Lord delays his coming"? I don't have to get ready now. I'll do that next week, next year. And just think, if we were warned today, in 6 months, the tribulation will start, or in 1 year, whatever it is. If we were warned today, wouldn't we start changing our lives? And yet God says, "I'm not going to tell you the exact day." So you must be getting ready all along. Verse 13. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." So we're sitting here today, but will we be here next month, next year? Brethren, we're reminded not to give up on our calling, and endurance is required. And we won't be ready if we don't put in our daily training, if we don't follow those steps that God has given us. I have a continual reminder in my life of what happens when we stop running our race. Now, we know baptism is a commitment, and so I think back on the friends that I've had growing up in the church The friends I had that were classmates at the church school that I went to, they later became baptized, made that commitment. They're no longer following this way. I have siblings that were baptized that no longer follow this way. The minister who baptized me, he no longer is walking this way. The minister who married me is no longer walking this way. My parents no longer believe this way, and yet they taught me, they raised me. So we look back and we have this reminder that it's easier to walk away, to let go of our beliefs than we can imagine, which is why it says, if possible, even the elect can be deceived. So we have to be careful. Verse 21, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. I don't think we can fully imagine how bad it will be. Because when I think back about times of plagues and famines in the world, terrible wars, and all the things that have happened, this is saying that the overall effect will be worse than all that. It'll be worldwide as it grows. It'll affect everyone in some way. And so we're reminded here not to give up on our calling. We really have to think about that. And if God didn't put a stop to war, to the corruption, to the pollution, he tells us that all flesh will perish. It's going to get terrible. And every year in the spring, when we think about how the leaves come on the trees, that we have a sign there that summer is near. So God gives us signs just like that. And we'll look at the one here in verse 32, right here in Matthew 24. Because we have to be looking ahead. We have to be seeing what God is telling us is coming and then turn that around and say, are we getting ready for what is coming? Will we be ready when Christ comes to this earth, whether we're in the grave or not? Verse 32, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, so it's talking about this deception and these wars and this hunger and famine, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. So, brethren, as we watch world events, the signs of the times give us clues that we're getting closer. I mean, you and I have seen things in the last decade that we never dreamed of as children or in our midlife era time. We didn't dream some of the things that have been promoted and pushed and the way our nation is headed. For example, let me just mention from a couple articles here. This was in Newsweek. It was written just this month, the beginning of the month, just 10 days ago or so. It was written by Jenny Fink, and the title was, China State Media Says Country Must Prepare for Nuclear War with the U.S. After Biden Asks for a COVID Probe. Now I stop and I think, what? You're going to start getting ready for nuclear war because somebody says we want to probe something or look into something a little deeper? Look at the mind of man. And the excuses they make, that's not the real reason, but that's their excuse. And then in that article, the editor of the Chinese state-run newspaper wrote this. He says, well, we must be prepared for an intense showdown between China and the United States. The number of China's nuclear warheads must reach the quantity that makes U.S. elites shiver should they entertain the idea of engaging in a military confrontation with China. In other words, we want to build up so big that you guys would just shake in your boots and you won't even begin to attack us. That's the mindset there. And so that's all of man's thoughts apart from God, isn't it? We're all about thinking ourselves and taking over and power, and I want my way. And so news from around the world is revealing as we watch it, as we get ready, you know, for the future that God says is coming. Now, in the Israel National News, this is from just about 2 weeks ago, May 27th, this was written in an article. It says, while the international community remains officially wedded to the idea of a two-state solution as a way out of the current Middle East impasse, Hamas continues to insist that the only solution it has in mind is making Palestine Jew-free. In other words, in this two-state solution, we don't want that. We just want to get rid of all that race. We want to get rid of those people. Once again, look at the mind of man apart from God. Another article that I read recently in the Prophetic Times stated that nuclear weapons inspectors in Iran have found traces of uranium at sites that were undeclared. Like, there shouldn't be uranium there. You haven't even stated that. And so they won't give an answer. And my thinking is, can you imagine Iran with a nuclear weapon? Can you imagine a lot of countries out there, South Korea, et cetera? And so look at verse 36, because all these things are on the horizon. We don't even hear all the news. God sees everything. He knows how close we are. But here's what he tells us to do as we do draw closer. Verse 36, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So think about that, brethren. We're in those days. I mean, everybody's living normally, but things are getting worse. Nuclear weapons are being stockpiled. Countries are plotting and planning this and that. Verse 39. So until that day that Noah entered the ark, verse 39, and he did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now you think about how surprised everyone that died in the flood was when they truly figured out what was happening. Whatever that moment was, but it was just hours or a day before they died that they go, uh-oh, we're not ready for this, and they didn't survive. So the question as Christians is, will we be ready for whatever God brings, whatever he allows? You know, Christ will return, but we're not told exactly when. Therefore, we must prepare while we still have life, while we have breath. Now, if an athlete is gifted in long-distance running, but he doesn't train, he won't do well, even if he's allowed to go to the Olympics. And similar to that, we've been gifted into a race, a spiritual race that God has invited us into. And we're offered help in that race. We're even forgiven when we fall short or fall down in our race. And we're encouraged to keep running our race. And if we finish the race, God says, I'll give you a crown of life. So we can compare ourselves to those physical runners, but they know that they need to train. They need to work hard. We need to do the same thing. Verse 42. Watch therefore. So here are some of the action steps that I was referring to earlier, that in getting ready for the troublous times, in getting ready for the kingdom of God, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Brethren, are we willing to watch? One aspect of that is watching world events, you know, reading articles, keeping a pulse on what's happening around the world, because that will give us a sign of how things are moving along. But in addition to that, we need to watch ourselves. We need to evaluate ourselves based on the Word of God and to see what standards God wants us to be living, how we should be producing and overcoming, and see where to improve. So watching isn't just about seeing the troublous times ahead, but it's all about getting ready for the kingdom of God. So the two go together. If we're preparing for the great tribulation, in a sense, we're getting ready for the return of Christ. We're getting ready to help and serve in the kingdom of God. It's all for the same goal. These events are on the horizon. Verse 44, therefore you also be ready. So a warning again, you know, watching, be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, the world definitely doesn't know when to expect God, but do we? I mean, this could be talking to us as Christians. You don't know when to expect him, and we really don't. So therefore, we always have to be ready. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Doing everything he told his servants to do. You know, being loyal at it, being faithful, enduring in it until that master comes back. Same is true with Jesus Christ. So do we, as faithful servants, are we learning to give more than we've done in the past? Are we willing to help people, to encourage our brethren, to support them, to pray for them? Because the possessions in this life are nothing compared to the future. God will give us so much. We don't deserve to be kings and priests in the family of God. So whatever position we're given, we can still prepare. We can still double our talents that God has given us. Are we so doing? In other words, are we following the commands of our master? Because if not, we will not be ready. And that's what it's warning us. Get ready. It's coming. You know it's coming. Get ready. Now in chapter 5, or I should say 25, here in Matthew, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins are given. And you could put another name in there for those virgins. You could say the wise and foolish church members, the wise and foolish saints. You know, we could put that in there. But our choices as adults and children are important to God. He wants us to be thinking along the lines of how Jesus Christ thought. And if I just talk to the few children that are here this morning and say how you apply yourselves now will have a direct impact on your choices later. So for example, whether you're in grade school or high school, if you put your heart into your homework and you do well and you get good grades, that literally affects where you go to college and whether you get accepted to college and whether you get a scholarship at college. So what we do now affects later. The same is true for us as Christians. God wants us to do our homework now, so to speak, so that we can do well later. And we know that both the wise and foolish slept, just as we all have. We've all fallen short over the years. We've all let down, but God says it's time to get back up with his help and march forward and get ready, you know, for the coming kingdom. Let's look here in Matthew 25. We'll read a couple verses, starting in verse 8, talking about the wise and foolish virgins here. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. It makes me think about the ark door being shut. You know, once it's shut, it's not going to open back up. It's sealed in a sense. God knows who to let into his kingdom. And so when you think about in a physical race, it's sad when somebody gets disqualified in the race, jumping the gun or stepping out of line, you know, across the lane line. And yet everyone hopes to receive a prize. We all want the prize of being in the kingdom and receiving the crown of life. But are we willing to follow the rules of this race? You know, in this case, the laws of God. How well are we doing with those rules? Verse 11, afterward, other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." What would God say to us right now? Now, at this point in our life, does he know us? Or are we like foreign to him? He doesn't even count us as a part of his family. So in verse 12, he says, "I don't know you." And the summary of that is in verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So these individuals didn't build a relationship. They didn't use their time wisely. We need to be doing that so that we're ready. Are we comparing world events to God's promises? And if so, are we transforming our lives so that we're ready for all that he said is coming? Because there's many more prophecies on the horizon that are ahead of us. We need to be thinking more about this. We need to be talking about it, praying about it, getting ready, because God says, "These things are coming. I have spoken," he said. "It will be done." He says, "I will perform it," he mentions in Isaiah. And we know he has the power to do that. In verse 14, here in Matthew 25, he offers a little more. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey." So, talents. We are given talents. Just as a master of a household would give physical goods to his servants, God has given us talents. I've spoken about spiritual gifts recently. He gives us opportunities. He gives us blessings. And have we used them? Have we grown in what he's offered us? Because he's given us all we have. And even though we may be poor, God says you can still give. Maybe it's in a limited way. And even if we're handicapped, we can still serve in various ways. Even if it's praying. Let's say we're too old and too feeble to even get on our knees. We can still pray. So there's all sorts of things that we can still be doing. And so we have to ask ourselves, how are we progressing? Will we be ready? Are we watching? Are we preparing? Will we be found so doing, as it's stated here? So we need to use God's strength to develop the things he's given to us, shared with us, so that we can be prepared for when he chooses to return. So let's notice the outcome of those servants who use their talents, who used, let's say, the Holy Spirit, as we should, to prepare for their master returning. Verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what we want to hear, isn't it? And the same statement is made to the individual who was given two talents, because they increased, they developed, they doubled their talents. And that's important for us to think about. Are we working hard? Are we growing? Those who haven't put forth effort, their talent will be taken away. As if we read this whole chapter, we would see that. That even what God gives us, he will remove if we don't use it properly. Verse 30. Here's the outcome of those who don't develop. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, we will be judged on the decisions we make. Therefore, we must choose each day to make the most with what God has given us, what he's blessed us with, and to use his strength and help to continue to prepare for all that is coming. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So this is the inheritance that our Father has for us. But that is if we persevere. If we overcome, if we're ready. And Jesus goes on to explain the various ways in which he will judge us. You know, if we were to read a little bit further, it talks about, have you fed the hungry? Have you clothed the poor? Have you visited those in prison or visited even the widows, as we're told in James? There's all these ways that we can be developing. And as disciples of Christ, we need to serve like our master did. We need to love as he loved. We need to be willing to lay down our life. That's a far-reaching step of love that most of us are working towards. But that's what we're asked to do. I'll refer to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, where Paul writes about the attitude of people just prior to Christ's return. And you probably remember how it says people are boasters and proud and lovers of self, all those list of things and more. And we're starting to see more of this. But he says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And so all those conditions will be happening, those type of people and those attitudes. And we see more of it as protests and things people see, even the leaders, some of the statements, which you would consider to be sound reasoning, but it isn't very sound. We're seeing more and more of that. In verse 7, I'll just mention of 2 Timothy 3, it says that these individuals are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we have to think about ourselves. Are we learning? Have we been in the church 40 years and always learning, but still not quite getting it? God is asking us to really understand the truth and to apply it and to live by it. And whether we're adults or children, worldly knowledge is increasing, as we mentioned earlier, but are we developing our knowledge of the truth? See, that's the key. That as all this increases, man's gaining all this physical knowledge, but we need the knowledge of God. And God is asking us to dedicate our life to following what we claim to believe. I mean, this is what I claim to believe, but I have to ask, am I truly following it? And in John chapter 6 and verse 63, we're told that the words, Christ says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So as we think about that, that's how beautiful his words are. They literally have a spiritual nature to them, and they will help us to have eternal life if we follow them, if we apply them. I'll just refer to Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How beautiful is that? And so if any of you have stepped out recently into a dark night with no, you know, cloud cover, no stars or moon out because of the clouds, and if you try to walk, let's say, out to the trash can or to walk the dog, you can't see anything. I mean, without light, it's like we stumble. We can't find our way. And in a similar way, as Christians, God is saying, I will show you the way. No matter how dark this world is, I can show you the way. And so we need to walk as Jesus Christ did. And our Father desires to give us the kingdom, but if we're not studying, we won't be ready for the times ahead of us. As it mentioned there in Psalm, you know, his word is a lamp to our feet. If we're not looking at those words to give us direction, to shine a light on how we're to live, and what's going to happen in the world, will be lost in that sense. So is there something in our life that won't be allowed into God's kingdom? We each need to ask ourselves that. Because habits run deep, don't they? We can get in a rut. And some of those things are so deeply entrenched that it's hard to get rid of. But with God's help, we can. That's why Paul encourages us in Philippians 4, verse 13, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's not our own strength. And God is reminding us to lean on him. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21 and verse 36. You know, God does promise a time of great tribulation. But will he count us worthy to escape it? So this is a companion scripture here to what we've been looking at in Matthew. But Luke 21, verse 36, watch therefore. So once again, the warning. And brethren, we need to really think about those words. That's a command from God. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So we're not watching just for the tribulation, but also standing before God to be judged by him. You know, whether we're going to be on the right hand or the left hand, whether he'll say, well done, or I don't know you. It's decided by us. And so God wants his children to be aware of what's going on around us. He wants us to be aware of what's happening inside of us. Because on the outside, we're made in the image of God, but on the inside, he says, no, that's your carnal, natural way. You need to put that away. And that's why baptism is burying that old person and becoming a new creation. And God is asking us to live a life like Christ. And with his spirit, we can do that. So the command to watch and to be ready, to be so doing, it points us to Bible study so that we can see the words of God as he shines a light on how we should walk. It points us to serving, to growing in prayer, you know, getting on our knees, not just, oh, I prayed this morning one time. No, David, it says, one time it says he prayed seven times. Or Daniel, morning, you know, morning, noon, and night. How is our relationship in praying with God? Are we overcoming? Are we maturing? That's what God is inviting us to do. Let's go back to Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 21. Because we've talked a little bit about the troublous times in the future, but there's astounding promises that God has made as well. And we are mentioned in some of them. So we need to think about this as saints. Are we looking forward and are we watching also for when we will be in the kingdom? And we need to listen up because these are exciting things that God has written for us. We'll just touch on a little bit here, Daniel 7, verse 21. He says, I was watching. And the same horn was making war against the saints. So we're talking here, you know, maybe throughout history, but also at the end time, and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Wow, how exciting is that? This is what we're living for. This is what we're looking forward to. Verse 23, then he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall differ from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. And so terrible things will be happening at that time. Let's skip over to verse 25. And this beast power that, you know, rises at the end time, it says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Brethren, that's us. This is the future. It could be during our lifetime that will we stand up against this when this persecution comes. So he shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law. But then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. So consider the things that are on the horizon there. And so if we're not close to God, we won't make it through those times ahead if that all falls during our lifetime. God wants us to be aware of these things. Are we willing to die for God's way? I mean, that takes a lot of thinking. That takes, you know, time studying the Bible and meditating, like, how devoted am I to my beliefs? Am I willing to suffer pain? Am I willing to die for what I believe? That's what God is preparing us to do so that he can give us eternal life. You know, some of these things we talk about here are not easy. You know, some of us have struggled with, let's say, losing weight over the years. You know, but that's not hard compared to dying for God's way. Some of us, you know, struggle with other areas that are not easy. You know, exercising. I mean, it's hard for me to get out every day and just take a walk. It's like, it's hard, but that's nothing compared to the persecutions that are coming. And so we need to really stop and think about, you know, like, oh, we find it hard to go out and visit a widow. But if we can't do that, how are we going to make it through being willing to give up our life for what God tells us is accurate and true and what's coming? Verse 26, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So my focus here is there will be tough times with the tribulation and all that, but God says going past that, that it says the saints of the Most High will be given this kingdom, a kingdom that will last forever, that will be under Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to offer us. And so all the prophecies do turn out for the good, even the great tribulation. I believe God allows that because that's what it'll take for those individuals that go through it to wake up and have their best chance of choosing life. What are we willing to change? You know, it may be hard to change our bad habits, but it will be easier than going through the terrible times that could be just ahead of us. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2 in closing. Revelation 2 and verse 4. You know, teens or young children, you know, some of them go to camp during the year, and they're asked to prepare for that. And they get excited. They think, oh, what am I going to take? And what are they going to cover? And what friends am I going to see? And they might go through all these steps of thinking, I need to be prepared for when I go to camp. And then parents, we're asked to prepare for the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, oh, we've got to go down and reserve which place we're going to, which feast site. Oh, we need to reserve a room and make our reservations in that way. We need to save our second tithes. All these steps, whether it's preparing for camp or the feast, we're all asked to prepare, to get ready. But those are simple steps compared to what God asks us to do to get ready for the kingdom, to be willing to lay down our life, to be willing to go through persecution and die for that. Notice what Christ tells us here in Revelation 2 and verse 4, speaking to the churches. He says in verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So God is saying he wants us to change from who we naturally are to what he wants us to become, to show that we're willing to fight to put that old way off and to allow his spirit to help us to grow and develop. Verse 7, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, brethren, each church era has things to work on. We all have things to work on, to grow and prepare for the kingdom. And we must be willing to work on our faults, to look at our shortcomings and say, God, I need your help to overcome this, to improve and to grow. And my grandson heard some news that made him wonder. You know, that's just from a worldly aspect. But we have to go beyond that. We have to really be looking at the signs of the times, and we have to be changing our lives so when all these things that God says will come to pass, that we'll be ready for that. So we need to continue to ask ourselves, how well are we doing in getting ready for end-time prophecy to be fulfilled? It's a lot to think about, isn't it? Because we must continue to endure by preparing with all our heart, watching world events, watching our growth, our development. Are we doing well? Are we improving? You know, in other words, what path are we walking? Is it the path that God lights? Our focus must be on God's word, which provides that light, which shows us the way. So, brethren, our call to action is to get ready for the return of Jesus Christ. He told us to watch. He says, be prepared for these things. And if we're willing to take that step, then we will be striving to separate ourselves from the world. Let's say the world's over here, and the kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ is a perfect example, is over here. Where are we in that? Are we really close to the world, still have one foot in the world, or are we moving closer and closer to God's ways, getting ready and showing that we allow him to lead our lives and we're filled with his Holy Spirit and we're developing and growing? Brethren, we must be drawing closer to God. We must be loving one another with all of our heart. We must be embracing the laws of God. They're written down for us. We must be reading them, going over them, putting them into our minds. We need to keep running, because God tells us to endure to the end. And so many in my past have slipped away. I hope and pray they come back. But we must not follow that. We must not drift, because we might lose out on that time and the door is shut, as we've read today. So we need to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And so let's develop the talents, the gifts, the opportunities, the blessings that God has given us, so that when our Master returns, he will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant.